Thank you, Steve. And our final speaker in this session is Xavier O, who's the Environment Manager for Airports Council International, and he's going to talk on the airport greenhouse gas inventories. Hopefully.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. As Chris said, I'll be talking about greenhouse gas inventories at airports. So it's a different perspective on the same issue. And so first of all, I need to separate or draw a distinction between what are aviation emissions and what are airport emissions. And I'll talk about the complexities of the ownership and the influence of these different emissions. Next, I'll talk about the World Reporting, World Resources Institute Greenhouse Gas Protocol, how they define the scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions. It's a very useful tool for dealing with airport inventories. And if time permits, I'll just have a little look at mitigation certification, because it's not going to be addressed anywhere else in this colloquium. So, first of all, we need to draw a distinction between aviation emissions and airport emissions. Aviation emissions, as I see it, are aircraft emissions, including APU emissions, on the ground and in flight. And as the Europeans are proposing to do in their ETS, it really becomes equivalent to the fuel loaded and used on an aircraft. And this distinction is needed because the Kyoto Protocol excluded the fuels used in international aviation. And so this wouldn't apply to all the ground-based sources in an airport. So if we look at an airport and airport-related emissions, we've got activities at the terminals, we've got the aircraft and site maintenance activities, airside vehicles, ground service equipment. We've got landside vehicles, also called ground access vehicles. Some airports have trains. But also at the airport, of course, you have aircraft. So it's logical to include, when you're addressing airports, to include aircraft, takeoff and landing, taxi and queuing, auxiliary power units usage, and run-ups. But if we look at these sources now, that even though we've separated, there's quite a mix of ownership and stakeholders, and these vary from airport to airport as well. You've got the airport operator and its staff vehicles, for example. You've got the tenants, including airlines, ground handlers, caterers, concessions, etc. And then you've got other parties, such as the general public coming in on trains or in private vehicles. So the World Resources Institute, in their document, and the reference will be on the last page of my presentation, wrote a document called the Greenhouse Gas Protocol and proposes to help companies or individuals define, to separate their emissions into what they call scopes 1, 2, and 3. Scope 1 emissions are, in a sense, direct. They're the emissions from sources that are owned or controlled, and in this case I'm talking about the airport operator. Scope 2 emissions are specifically those emissions from off-site generation of electricity purchased by the airport operator. And Scope 3 emissions is the great bundle of other emissions or from airport-related activities from sources not owned or controlled by the airport operator. Now, my organisation, the Airports Council International, last year published a document called the Guidance Manual on Airport Greenhouse Gas Emissions Management, to provide guidance to our members on what to do with this big jumble of emissions sources. And we also recommended the further subdivision of Scope 3 emissions. Scope 3A, we proposed, are emission sources which an airport operator can influence, even though it does not own or control these sources. And Scope 3B sources are Scope 3 emissions which an airport cannot influence to any reasonable extent. And I'll move into some examples of these, but I'll go back to Scope 1 to start with. So Scope 1 emissions are the sources that an airport owns or controls. So these might include a power plant, fleet vehicles, airport maintenance, including snow removal or landscaping, airport-owned ground service equipment, and activities like fire drills. Scope 2 emissions are fairly straightforward in there. The emissions at off-site power stations from the generation of electricity or heat purchased by the airport operator. And you can see that the whole point of defining these scopes is to avoid double counting. If you have a power industry, if you're doing a national inventory, the power industry will include these emissions in their inventory. So you've got to be careful that if you're doing a national inventory, you're not going to be adding the wrong emissions and getting double counting. Scope 3A emissions, as I said, are the emissions that an airport operator feels that he or she can influence, even though they're not owned or controlled by the airport. So aircraft engines during takeoff and landing, aircraft engines during taxiing and queuing, aircraft APUs, tenant and airline ground service equipment and airside vehicles, airport company corporate travel, and construction activities are some examples of Scope 3A emissions. And Scope 3B emissions include aircraft emissions during cruise, on flights to and from the airport, ground access vehicles, but perhaps for the period of the trip off the airport site, aircraft maintenance, which should usually be done by the aircraft owner, rail traffic, and off-site waste disposal. So the whole purpose of setting up, as I said, these three scopes of emissions, or four if you like, is to avoid the double counting and also to provide a structure for an airport to begin to address its emissions. And talking about mitigation is the reduction of emissions. And I just want to give some examples here. Mitigation of Scope 1 and 2 emissions. I bundle these together because some airports have their own power stations and some buy. But any activity reduce electricity use or improve efficiency will reduce either Scope 1 or 2 emissions. So modernizing the power and heating plants, generating electricity from renewable resources, energy-efficient buildings and lighting, fleet vehicle modernization and the use of alternative fuels or hybrid or electric vehicles, driver education to drive treading gently, and no idling policies, and the management of solid waste all can contribute to the reduction of Scope 1 and 2 emissions. Addressing non-aircraft Scope 3 emissions, the fundamental one would be improving public transport, including bus and rail, hotel and car rental, shuttle, bus consolidation, alternative fuel or hybrid vehicle, preferential taxi queuing and general parking, infrastructure for petrol alternatives, bike paths and other infrastructure for staff. And finally, addressing aircraft emissions that an airport feels it can influence. Some of these activities might include providing and enforcing the use of fixed electrical ground power and preconditioned air for aircraft at terminal gates, providing efficient taxiway and airport layout and departure management, holding the aircraft at the gate until the departure time is actually available to reduce queuing. And the last thing I'd like to mention is ACI has established a scheme called Airport Carbon Accreditation, whereby airports wanting to address their carbon emissions can gain recognition and certification for the level of achievement gained. There are four of them, starting with an inventory. The second level would be reducing those emissions that are in the inventory, and again, primarily addressing Scopes 1 and 2 emissions. The third is involving the stakeholders, and this is where we start talking about doing the inventory and and addressing and helping your or working with the stakeholders to address the Scope 3 emissions. And these, of course, would be the Scope 3A emissions, as I've described. And the highest level of achievement for on this scheme is carbon neutrality. Rhein Airport has addressed its Scopes 1, 2, and some of its Scope 3 emissions and purchased offsets for the remainder. So just in conclusion, I'd like to include in, some reference material here. We've got the guidance manual that ACI published last year, the website for airport carbon accreditation. There's a very good document produced in the United States by the Airport Cooperative Research Program on greenhouse gas inventories at airports. Of course, we've got ICAO's document for local air quality, 9889, and as I referred to earlier, the greenhouse gas protocol. Thank you.